choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
Nine. Ignition sequence start. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff. 32 minutes past the hour. Liftoff on Apollo 11.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now,
the news.
Tech. What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here, your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is the show for Wednesday, July 15th, 2009. But as you probably guessed, due to our recording schedule, we're going to call this one the 40th anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landing. So, happy anniversary.
Yay.
I know some of you were alive, some of you may even remember watching it, and some of you are just reliving history vicariously. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. If you've ever been to the moon, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm fantastic. I've been rested up, man. Had a long week.
Yeah.
Vacationing and beer and swimming in the ocean and all that good stuff.
You had the ocean. I had... What did I have? A little of everything.
You have no ocean there.
I had a water park for a day. That was fun.
Oh, yeah. I bet. Well, that's plenty of water for you.
Go to the Facebook page and figure it all out. All my pictures live now.
Hey, and if you want links to all that stuff, our social stuff, you can find it at the end of the show.
Hey, you just wanted to get the business in here real quick. Craig, I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many times have you been asked by family or friends to help out with, like, their home computer systems?
How many times? I have no idea.
Okay, uncountable, right?
Well, I'm trying. I can't. It's like trying to fathom the length of the universe. I can't do it.
Being computer geeks, we all get that. And how frustrating is it to try and troubleshoot somebody's problems over the phone and understand what the problem is? Wouldn't it be much easier if you could see the problem with like some kind of remote connection?
Yes, it would.
Well, from the people who bring you GoToMyPC, which we talked about in previous weeks, comes GoToAssist, very similar product.
Hmm.
This software is terrific. It lets you have two-way screen sharing, file transfers, chat, and a whole bunch more stuff all through your web browser. Hmm. It's quick and easy to set up. You'll be up and running in no time. Okay, maybe a little time, very little time.
Yeah.
And you can try it free. Free, that's a good price, for 30 days. By going to GoToAssist.com/podcast. That's right, free for 30 days, but you have to use the right URL because you want to help Technorama stay in business, right?
Yeah.
So grow and improve. Boy, do we need to improve.
Yeah.
So be sure to use the URL, GoToAssist.com/podcast, and that will take care of it. Coming up in tonight's show, boy, this is a tough one. We've got the moon, and more moon stuff. And
Chuck,
if you're lucky...
To the moon, Chuck! 3, 2, 1.
Variant Frequencies, your speculative fiction dial. Find us at www.variantfrequencies.com. Variant Frequencies is a podcast that stretches the entire bandwidth of genre fiction, modulated by a constant element of the fantastic. Every month, we give you a new story, so tune in, turn the volume up, and let some of our weird carrier waves distort your reality for just a little while.
This is Dr. Michio Kaku, professor of theoretical physics, author of the new book, Physics of the Impossible. Yet, I can't even figure out Technorama.
Everyone, hey! Starting out with the good news, we had we start out with one myth that's kind of busted. Oh, before we get into the news, I'm sorry. We wanna give a shout out to the people in the chat room. Yeah, that's it. I think they put on a moon theme for us tonight.
They're showing us their moon.
We've got AD One Small Step, Buzz Tim, Captain Reflection, Crater M, Deb Drop, Geek Cred, Giant Cheese.
Love it.
Harsh Mr. Looney Marv. Oh, I thought it should be like Marv and the Martian or something.
Yeah.
Lunatic Sim. Soul Blaze. That's no moon.
Nice.
And Victor One. Yeah, they just, I think I heard Congress proposing that we're going to rename the moon Victor One.
Yeah, Victor One. That's no moon.
What were you saying before the show started? We choose to do these things not because they are hard, but because they are easy. Oh, wait. screwed that up.
We choose to record Technorama not because it's easy, because it's hard. Something like that. Didn't really sound like Kennedy. You know.
In this decade and the other thing. Where were we?
I don't know.
Totally lost track. I think we were on the news.
Yeah.
The news, yes. I did a call out a week or so ago to the Tweetosphere and the Facebookosphere and asked for things about the moon and the moon mission, Apollo 11, since this is the 40th anniversary on July 20th. I don't even know what month it is anymore.
This year, a long time ago.
Yeah, whenever you hear this.
Hey, I was alive, by the way, you know?
Park Ranger Dominic
6 months.
From Haleakala responded back. He said, how about all the places the astronauts supposedly trained, in air quotes, to walk on the moon, i.e. Maui and Hawaii? He said, the big myth is that they trained on Haleakala, that the astronauts trained here. And same with Northern Arizona, I think. They did go to Mexico in a national park called, I think it's Pinacate, to walk on the craters and volcanoes, but they did not go to Maui.
Hmm.
That'd be kind of hot. Yeah. I never heard that myth before.
Well, I guess he's referring to the volcanic part. So, yeah, it could be hot. Aren't they active?
Haleakala's not. No.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Maui and in Hawaii.
No, Maui, Haleakala is on Maui. Nope.
I knew that. Yes. I'm your typical American with the great geography.
No, the Big Island has the active volcanoes, Craig.
Okay, all right, whatever.
Wow, I'm sure we're going to hear some listener feedback from that one.
And one day I shall walk the earth.
Now you talk right over the part where Lenny's supposed to go. Now we have to do that again.
Okay.
Acts and strange stories! We're going to have to give Lenny a bigger part in the next show.
I know.
All right. Just veering away from the moon for just a moment, this is one of the stranger stories that I've ever seen. This comes to us from... Who is this? Claudio sent us this via the Daily Mail in the UK, and I hear all kinds of stories about the Daily Mail. Mm-hmm. Blind man sees wife for first time after having a tooth implanted in his eye.
Now, wait a minute. Now, when I read that, I was like, there's no way. I was like, what is this? And it's an interesting story, true or not.
When Martin Jones met his wife 4 years ago, he never imagined that one day he would be able to see what she looked like. The 42-year-old builder was left blind after an accident at work more than a decade ago. But a remarkable operation, which implants part of his tooth in his eye, has now pierced his world of darkness. The procedure, performed fewer than 50 times before in Britain, uses the segment of the tooth as a holder for a new lens grafted from his skin. The doctors took the bandages off, and it was like looking through water. And then I saw this figure, and it was her, he said today. Ah!
That wasn't the quote.
That's so insensitive of you, Chuck.
She's wonderful and lovely. It was unbelievable to see her for the first time. He added, when I found out there was a chance I would get my sight back, the first person I wanted to see was her. Mr. Jones, yeah, turns out it was the nurse.
Yeah.
You're lovely, my dear. Yeah. I'm the nurse.
Excuse me, your wife's over here.
No, when I pulled it up in the picture, yeah, it kind of looks like a snake eye or something. The way it sits.
He's such a lovely gentleman, too.
It's amazing, but I just thought it was kind of strange when they're talking about grafting skin to make a new lens. But I think what the whole idea here is, like, you know, the pinhole cameras, I think that's what they're doing here, is they got a tube that makes the focal point on the back of the eye. Just kind of neat.
All right, and what kind of episode would it be if we didn't talk about Legos?
Yes, of course.
And I believe this was Dean Jensen who sent us the link to amazing Lego art by, what was this guy's name? Nathan Sawaya.
Yeah, I think I've seen his, I think we actually talked about some of his artwork
He's gone overboard. He's got a Mount Rushmore. He's got a cookie jar. He's got life-size Lego models of him and his wife in formal attire.
Hey, not to be outdone, the Statue of Liberty holding a lightsaber.
That one was one of my favorites. And the Han Solo in carbonite.
Yes, that was a cool one. There was one where he's ripping his chest off.
Ripping his chest off. I thought that was very artistic.
Yep. Yeah, that's the one. As soon as I saw this, I thought, well, I think we talked about this once before.
Yeah, Lego man building his own arm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's a video of how he built the Lego cello. So do go and check that out.
Oh, there is. And can he play it?
Yeah. No, I don't. I don't think he can play the cello because it doesn't have the right resonance. You know, a lot of the sound from a cello comes from the wood.
Yeah, all the little knobs on the Legos.
All the Legos fall off from resonating.
Yeah, it plucks the strings instead of vibrating them.
All right, Mr. Conspiracy Theorist, what have you found?
Ooh, conspiracy theories. Well, you know, as much as we love NASA, but you know, there's a dark side, a side that is not spoken of very much. It's the, did they fake it or not? And that's what we're talking about here, is did they fake the moon landing? And, you know, there's tons of people on the internet that say they have and whatever. And you know, recently I saw on the Mythbusters, I watched it. How long ago was that? I saw the moon landing episode, and they were disproving some of the photos. Well, if you look at this photo, it's of Buzz Aldrin.
Mm-hmm.
And they zoom in on the picture of him standing facing the sun. You can see the flag to his left. He's facing the sun, and his visor is up. Well, they were contending in here. Well, there's several things they were saying, but one of the things was that if his visor is up, he'd instantly go blind because of the sun. There's no protective atmosphere on the moon, of course.
Are you sure that's just not a strange reflection from the visor?
Flag reflecting
on it? I don't think the picture has enough resolution to really make that determination. And well, is this really the real picture?
Yeah. Well, I would imagine you could go. Well, there's the gallery archive, and I'm sure they have some larger pictures of it. But yeah, when you zoom in on it, like they did in here, it's very grainy. And how can you tell? So
that's what I think, too. I think people see what they want to see. Look, it's a face on Mars.
Yeah. One thing I wondered, and it's probably explained somewhere, but, you know,
when the capsule took off, there was a camera left unattended on the moon. Well, there's video of it. I mean, it's watching the capsule go up. You know, it's tracking it going up. Did they really have that kind of stuff back then? Automated? Or did they leave somebody on the moon to take pictures? How did they get the pictures? I don't know.
What is all this logic underneath this thing? Oh my gosh, there's a whole like transcript.
Yeah, yeah, it looks like he was
talking about... A remote camera on the lunar lander allegedly was taking 16mm film of Aldrin as he hopped off about 1/6 Earth gravity. This must be so because NASA said that Armstrong was out of the lander for about 2 hours or so, and so was Aldrin, who then was moving a 16mm movie camera. See, the camera was left unattended. Armstrong left the lander first. Then we can assume Aldrin would have checked the instruments on the camera and followed Armstrong out. 16mm film shows the camera was manned as the scene captured by the camera would not show. And then they go, they've got all this stuff down here. 3, the flag is seen in 2 separate locations, FR-10 and FR-09. 11 yeah. times 12 times 13 times... 14 times 12. Let's look at the math. Apollo 11 times 12 times 14 times 15 times 16 times 17... is 7539840. Then divide by pi and round to the closest whole number is 2.4 million. This is just a bunch of hooey. It just goes this is on the hoax. And on. This is the funniest part.
Hey, okay. This is the hoax. Yes, all it's right. It's pretty amazing.
Enough of that one. What else have you got?
Well, you know, here is... The return of the Mars hoax, and it says for the 6th.
Good grief! This goes around like every August on the internet.
I know.
Please, people, and, you know, if you get an email that says Mars is going to be as big as the moon, just delete it, please.
I know. You know, I got the email, or no, somebody was telling me that you know it's going to be as close. I was like, I think that's already happened, and sure enough, I started remembering. I was like, oh yeah, my parents have a friend that has a observatory in their backyard, very nice one. And I think it's skyimager.com. You can go see some of the pictures he's taken. Well, we went out there to observe Mars as its largest, and you could see the polar caps. It was pretty big, actually, kind of about as big as the picture that they've got photoshopped in there. But you can see the Mars in the on there. But anyway. So it was pretty cool to see, and I was like, you know, I've heard about this more, and every year, here it comes, about the Mars coming back into focus or whatever.
It will never. It's a matter of distance and scale. It will never be as big as the moon. It won't even be a quarter of the size of the moon.
No, it wasn't, but I'm just saying. No, what I was saying, what we were talking about is when Mars came as close as to Earth, and it was nowhere near the large size of the moon.
Right, right. It was nice and orange and everything, but...
Yeah.
Anyway, do you have another one, or is that it for the Hacks and Strange Stories?
Well, we got plenty of strange stories.
Okay. So, should we go into Remember When? I think you have a Remember When. Since this is all about 40th anniversary, we have to remember.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers.
And Technorama remembers what?
The Great Moon Hoax, of course. And damn, I was only 6 months old, so I don't really have any firsthand information. Couldn't really read or understand the words that they were saying. But yeah, you know, back in the day, of course, did Mars fake the moon landing?
Yes, the moon went to Mars. All right, from science.nasa.gov, of all places, from 2001.
Yes.
The article reads, last week my phone rang. It was my mother, and she was upset. Tony, she exclaimed, I just came off the came from the coffee shop, and there's an adjective omitted beep, beep, man beep. Down there who says NASA never landed on the moon. Everyone was talking about it. I just didn't know what to say. The last bit was hard to swallow. I thought, Mom's never at a loss for words. Guy rips on his mom.
There's the first hoax.
But even more incredible was the controversy that swirled through her small town diner and places like it all across the country. After a long absence, the moon hoax was back.
Yeah. And you know what? It will always be here. But there, you know, the article goes to talk about some of the photography, talking about flags waving in the breeze. Now, this is the kind of thing that Mythbusters actually tackled. So, but you can read through the article, and there's some good stuff talking about the moon rocks and we found particles of fresh glass on the moon that were produced by an explosive volcanic activity, blah, 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 and all that good stuff. So it's pretty long and lengthy. But they were talking about the flag moving in on, like I said, on Mythbusters, which we have a link to the YouTube videos a little bit later that you can go check out.
If you haven't seen those, I'll bet they are going to be airing those again this week. Just because of the anniversary. So. Either late this week or early next week. Watch for that on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah, be looking for that. Because let's see, one of the things, they did the flag waving, they did the
footprint.
They did the footprint, and Jamie and Adam did that awesome model with trying to show that one light source can make two angles of shadows.
Oh yeah. And light up the dark side of the shadow from the sunlight reflection off of the regolith.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's all been done. And the bottom line, proof positive to me, is if we weren't there, how the heck are we getting a bounce back of lasers off of reflective mirrors up there?
Yeah, and that's the thing at the end of Mythbusters, I guess we'll ruin it for everybody, was that they were actually able to shoot a laser from, I forget where the observatory is at, and have it go to the moon and come back because they had the foresight to put reflectors on the moon, which I thought was, when I saw that, it just blew my mind. So I didn't even know those were there.
I got to see one of those reflectors. I go, how do you make sure it's aiming directly back at you? And it's a special reflector that's got, it kind of looks like a glass cylinder, maybe 2 or 3 inches tall. And they bevel it on three sides. They kind of make like a point to it. So it's got three angled. When you look into this thing, it looks like this, almost like if you look into the flat side, it looks like a 6 slices of pizza. And no matter where you aim it, you will always see the center of your eye. So you don't have to have it directly aimed at you. There's an array of these things. They put down a panel, I think it's like 2 feet by 2 feet, of a whole bunch of these reflective cylinders with their bottoms tapered off at this angle.
Yeah.
And so even if the moon isn't facing directly at you, you can still shoot a laser at that very certain point, and it will bounce straight back at you.
Yeah, it's amazing. And that, did you know that existed before?
What, the mirrors?
Yeah. Did you even know it was there?
No, see, the guy who used to be the manager of our mechanical engineers had one sitting on his desk, and I said, what is this? And he goes, it's, I forget what he called it. Mr. Sim is saying it may be called an omniflector. But I'd pick it up and I go, what is this? And he said, it's a mirror that lets you bounce back something from any angle. Almost like a parabola will concentrate things from any angle into one point.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, there's some of these on the moon. I said, get out. He said, yeah, they left them there and they bounce lasers off. That's how they know the moon is moving away from us at something like a centimeter a year.
Yeah.
And if you listen to Astronomy Cast, you get all this kind of good stuff too. So there's a plug for another cast.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. Well, since we're kind of wading into the media corner, because we
are
talking about the Mythbusters.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
And the moon.
Over here, in the media corner.
And the moon. So when we're talking about, again, we have links to the Mythbusters, Hoax Landing 1 and 2. There's a lot of good stuff in there. If you're a moon fan, or you're just a conspiracy theorist fan.
I should have played that song, We Like the Moon.
We Like the Moon?
Don't you remember when we sang that?
Did we sing that?
Well, we sang it at the 2005 New Media Expo.
Oh.
With Evo. Oh.
Yes. Yes, yes. We should get him on here. Anyway, right below that, I wanted to mention that I saw an article for Speaking of Space, a star review of the Star Trek Hallmark ornaments premiering this weekend, and which I guess was this last weekend, actually.
Blah?
And
if,
well, you know, do you have any Star Trek or Star Wars ornaments?
I do not.
You don't?
No.
I got a few. I got, like, Picard standing in, like, the holodeck door. I've got an Enterprise.
I have lots of Santa stuff, like Santa little figurines you paint.
Mm-hmm.
Either faces or there's one where he's stuck in a chimney and all you see is Santa's butt sticking out.
That's pretty funny. Well, this is one is a Klingon warbird, which is kind of nice, or a battle cruiser, excuse me. And then there's one of Kirk and Spock standing beside Captain Pike, the old school one. Yeah, where he's in the enclosed wheelchair. And that's it does do that.
I think of it as the Technorama. My foot's getting sore. Use the beeper.
Use the beeper. Well, this one, this one plays like what, three or four quotes, and you know, Kirk's like, "You can go ahead and take him to the transporter pad. Thank you for both of us."
Boop, boop.
That kind of thing.
I think I'd like push him off the edge of the table, but that's just me.
Yeah, go back to your planet and
start playing televangelist. Yay, get up and walk.
Let's push him in the floor. Then there's Uhura sitting at the con, and this
with
is
their
the
Bluetooth headset. Yep.
And then there is also a TOS phaser, like the little, I guess, the little piece that popped out of the phaser, or the single handheld.
Yeah, the little, not the pistol.
The portable
kind.
One. Yeah, this is pretty cool. And there's a Ilea, the bald chick, Ilea.
But she's got a loop coming out of her head, so she looks more like a Teletubby. So you can put the hook in her.
Yeah, V'ger did that. He added that feature.
she's been retrofitted. Not only
there's
did
now
she
a jewel
get
in her neck and a hook on her head. That's funny.
So those are neat. Anyway, do they have prices on these Christmas ornaments?
Well, the battle cruiser is $32.
Ouch.
Some of these are kind
of
some
like
of these
real
are
pewter.
No, they're not pewter. They're, you know, plastic. They light up. And
$30 for a plastic.
The menagerie, menagerie one is $28. Uhura is what, $25, and the TOS phaser and Ilea are what, $18. So. I've gotten a few over the years. I've got like the Enterprise. I've got the Death Star and some Star Wars ones, and it's pretty cool.
Ouch, let go of my arm.
Twist it.
Although they're probably going to be collectibles and worth a whole lot later.
Oh, there are some that are very expensive, and they come out and they sell, some of the most valued ones sell out right away.
Okay, looking at the Geek Library and how appropriate.
Back up.
Oh, did we miss? Oh, did I jump right over it?
I got three things to rant about.
Yeah. I jumped over it. All right, you can do the editing on that if you want to.
Yeah, play my song. Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. Okay, I'm not really angry, but let me tell you a little funny story. A week ago, we went to the beach. We went to Seabrook Island, which is in the southern part of South Carolina. And we got to our beach house. We rent, you know, my brother and my parents and everybody, you know, all the restricted families were there. And we had a great time. All right. First thing we got there, and I went to hook up the wireless router and was having a little trouble with it. And then I realized that actually the internet was out. Well, the problem was I didn't think it was that big a deal. I'm on vacation. Well, my parents and my brother and my sister-in-law were all looking at me like, "You better get the internet up."
Yikes.
Like, isn't this a change? Usually I'm the one that they're picking on for wanting to get the internet up.
Right.
So I called the Comcast. They have Comcast over there. I called them, and the first thing they said on the voicemail, "We're experiencing an outage in John's Island." So I was like, okay, it's the fourth. No big deal. And then they got it up like the next day or so. So what? You know, my life was spared.
but I just thought it was funny. Everybody wanted to check their email, check their Facebook, and I was like, wow, we're starting to see the ugly side of everybody now.
Yeah, my internet was also out the first weekend we were there. It worked Friday and then kind of died. So Sunday I checked in and I said, our internet's not working. They said, yeah, we're hearing that a lot from guests this weekend. it may or may not, but we'll check in on Monday. Our guy is in Connecticut. I'm like, what the heck, man? They've got remote support. And then Monday it started working, so I can only imagine what they did.
But if they tried GoToAssist.com,
you'd need the internet to do that, though. Oh, yeah. I said, look, if there's anything I can do, I'm a help desk manager by day, so let me know if I can help.
Yeah.
But it just magically started working. All right, well, you've got something else in here.
Yes, I got something else in here, which I thought was really funny. My brother has an iPod Touch, and he has a baseball game on it. And he had been playing it and upgrading things. And you can play with people online with this game.
Yeah.
Well, my nephew was playing, and me and my brother and everybody, we were downstairs talking, all the adults. And so we come up, my brother comes up and to check on my nephew. And my nephew's like, look, I won against this guy. I beat him. So my brother looks at the iPod and thinks about the name for a second of the other player. And, people pick... random usernames and crap, He's like, why does this name sound familiar? Well, it was Abe Froman.
Abe Froman?
Froman. Does that name ring a bell?
No.
He's the sausage king of Chicago.
Really?
Ferris Bueller. Remember when Ferris Bueller was trying to go get, he was conning his way into
that club. Yeah.
As soon as my brother said it, it dawned on me. I went, oh, the sausage king of Chicago.
Swing, bada, 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 swing, bada. Wow, that's pretty obscure. I thought you were going to say, like, Roger Clemens or something.
My brother read it, and he went, why don't I know that name? Like, two beats. Oh, the sausage king of Chicago.
He beat the... Oh. I'm going to leave that one alone. Never mind.
Yeah. All right. Moving right along.
Geek Library.
Yes.
What have you found?
Well, I decided to dig into Snopes.com for some interesting,
good stuff.
NASA hoaxes and stuff. Here you go. I'll just run through them kind of quick, but because I'll let you do all the reading. But NASA developed the Space Pen. NASA spent millions of dollars developing an astronaut pen which could work in outer space, while the Soviets solved problems by using simply a pencil.
I have one of these pens.
Oh, do you have one of those pens?
Yeah, it's great, because when we're writing on the refrigerator, it's hard to keep the ink, the pointy end pointing down so the ink flows into it. Most pens, if you start writing at an uphill angle, the ink doesn't collect on the rolling ball, and you eventually run out of ink until you swing it around in the air and get it back down there. So when we were at NASA back in, what was it, 2004, 2005, we picked one of these up, and it's still working. We still write on the refrigerator all the time, or on the calendar on the refrigerator. But that's funny.
The ink is actually Soviets pressurized, isn't it?
The Soviets use pencils.
Yeah, funny. But then these pens, though, well, this is not true, of course. But the pens are that you've got, the ink cartridge is pressurized, right? That's why it stays, if you can write upside down with it.
So what, do they have a status also?
I'm asking you, man. Is that right?
What? Let's say it again. I was reading the little more in this.
I was just saying that the reason the pen works upside down is because the ink cartridge is pressurized, right?
I honestly don't know how it works. But that would make sense, have some sort of pressure. Oh, according to Snopes, this is patently false.
Yes, of course. Okay. All right, here's the next one. Native Americans provide NASA with a cryptic message to take to the moon.
False.
Yeah, it is false. It says in about 1966 or so, a NASA team working for the Apollo moon mission took the astronauts near Tuba City, where the terrain of the Navajo reservation looks very much like the lunar surface.
With all the trucks and large vehicles, there were two large figures that were dressed in full lunar spacesuits. I don't know why I just read that, because I got to read the whole thing to actually make sense. But anyway, it's false. They did not.
Nearby, a Navajo sheep herder and his son were watching the strange creatures walk about, occasionally being tended by personnel. The two Navajo people were noticed and approached by the NASA personnel. Since the man did not know English, his son asked him what the strange creatures were, and the NASA people told them that they are just men that are getting ready to go to the moon. The man became very excited and asked if he could send a message to the moon with the astronauts. The NASA personnel thought this was a great idea, so they rustled up a tape recorder. After the man gave them the message, they asked the son to translate. His son would not. Because it was pornographic. He was a dirty old man.
The message probably read something like, "Turn back."
Turn back.
White men gonna claim this land too.
Call the police. Oh well.
Don't let white man fool you. Okay. Yeah. Also from Snopes.com. Lost day. NASA scientists discovered a missing day in time, which corresponds to biblical account of the sun standing still in the sky. False. For all the scientists out there, and for all the students who have a hard time convincing those people regarding the truth of the Bible, here's something that shows God's awesome creation and shows that he is still in control. Did you know that the space program is busy proving that that what has been called myth in the Bible is true? Mr. Harold Hill, president of the Curtis Engine Company in Baltimore, Maryland, and consultant in the space program, relates the following development.
I think one of the most amazing things that God has for us today happened recently to our astronauts and space scientists at Greenbelt, Maryland. They were checking the position of the sun, moon, and planets out in space where they would be 100 years and 1,000 years from now. We have to...
Sorry, I'm reading this very poorly.
We have to know... So we won't send a satellite up and have it bump into something later on in its orbits.
Of course, now there's all space garbage up there.
We have to lay out the orbits in terms of the life of the satellite and where the planets will be, so the whole thing will not bog down.
They ran the computer measurement back and forth over the centuries, and it came to a halt. The computer stopped and put up a red signal, which meant that there was something wrong. Yeah, the red light was flashing. There's something wrong.
I know. They figured out. They found the 2K bug.
They couldn't Y2K. Get their computer model to go past 2K. Anyway, you could read on about that one. That one, man, they got a lot of dope on these stories, don't they?
I know. Well, you know, when you were mentioning about where they would be, you know, 100 years and 1,000 years from now, I was sitting there thinking, well, remember WALL-E? It's just like there were so many of them when they left orbit. It's like
the movie. Oh, here's a good one. E.T. make bail. The claim is a federal law prohibits U.S. citizens from having contact with extraterrestrial beings. False. What are they going to do, arrest you?
No.
If the government has no knowledge of aliens, then why does Title 14, Section 1211 of the Code of Federal Regulations implemented on July 16, 1969 make it illegal for U.S. citizens to have any contact with extraterrestrials or their vehicles?
Touch it.
I got this sweet motorcycle from Blork over here.
Well, that throws a big wrench in the plot in the movie Independence Day. You can't contact them. Don't touch their vehicle. That means don't shoot any missiles.
It's just a weather balloon anyway.
It's true.
And finally, well, this one ought to appeal to our BSG fans.
Yeah, the Eye of God. Actually, the photography taken by the Hubble telescope shows a nebula dubbed the Eye of God. And if you read the description, this is one of the email hoaxes that goes around. They said the description, it's a real picture, but inaccurate description. And it said, the description reads, "Dear all, this photo is a rare one taken by NASA. This kind of event only occurs once in 3,000 years. How would they know? How would they know that? This photo has done miracles in many lives. Make a wish. You have looked in the eye of God. Surely you will see changes in your life within a day.
You'd have better luck playing a country music song backwards.
Yeah.
Like it says the above displayed image is a real photograph of the Helix Nebula. Although it's technically not a single photograph, but rather a composite image formed from several photographs taken by NASA's orbiting Hubble Space Telescope and land-based telescope at the Kitt Peak National Observatory near Tucson, Arizona. This image was NASA's astronomy picture of the day, May 10th, 2003. But it is a pretty cool picture. It does resemble the eye of God. You know,
why does God need a starship?
Oh, please. You haven't answered my question.
Yeah. What was that? As T. Morris keeps saying, I think he was the one that said that's the best line that he's heard in, a Star Trek movie. I don't want to actually acknowledge that movie exists. I'm trying not to.
Too late.
It's too late. Actually, you know what? Technically, I kind of want to watch it again because it's been so long and my hate for it has been so long in the tooth. I need to
actually try it again.
Yeah, I need to try it out again. So if anyone wants to send me a copy of it, I'm just kidding.
I have it on VHS, but I don't think that one made it to DVD. You should be able to go out and find it at a used DVD store for like $1.
Probably. Actually, I was hoping there was a little hope for it. You know, when they were remastering the movies, they did the motion picture, Wrath of Khan, and they kind of remastered these for the DVD. It's like they did the director's cut and all that. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Well, Shatner went to Paramount and asked that he can he do a director's cut of this movie of Star Trek V. He wanted to update the special effects which were poor. I mean, the Enterprises looked horrible. And anyway, there was a number of things that was wrong with it, and he wanted to try and correct it, and they turned him down. I'm like, well, you got to fix that. You know, that movie could use a director's cut. As many times we bash them for making a director's cut to sell us several copies of the same movie, you know, because you want this one.
And the movie places have got to be loving this, even though the theaters are probably are actually in the downturn economy, they're not having a problem, but they're always complaining, oh, we're losing sales. Well, first you came out with the movie on VHS, then you come out with the DVD, and then you come out with the director's cut of DVD. Now you get to resell us the same content on Blu-ray. And they just love it when the format changes.
It's like, how many times do I need to buy Pink Floyd The Wall or Dark Side of the Moon? Come on.
Does it count if you still own it on LP and then you just pirate it?
How would they know? I don't know.
You have to insert all the scratchy stuff again.
Yeah. But anyway, my point was that would probably be the one director's cut DVD I would consider buying.
One final note about Star Trek. I was looking through my library for radio yesterday and came across some Star Trek radio shows. I did not know they did an audio program. I knew about the cartoons, knew about all the TV series, knew about the movies. Did not know there were, I've only got two, so if anybody knows where I can find any others. In 1979, these are not William Shatner and all the traditional actors. They're close approximations, and I'll tell you right now, the guy who plays Scotty sucks. he's terrible. He's just terrible. But well,
Simon Pegg was only a child back then. Oh, wait, no.
They're only like 15 minutes long. But they're kind of cheesy. It feels like they're older than they are, like they came from the 40s or 50s radio show era.
Mm-hmm.
But they're Star Trek. Yeah.
I'd never heard of that.
You got to go to checkchat.com and listen to the couple of radio yesterdays I'm putting out in July. It's really funny.
Oh, maybe I should go subscribe for Chuck.
Yeah, okay. I love you too, man. And with that, we want to share our love with you. We appreciate your support. If you want to show us how much, call the listener line 206-222-CHAT. That's easy to remember. 206-222-2428 or email technorama@chuckchat.com. You can find us on Twitter. I am C. Tomasi. He is Step K. Together we are Technorama. You can also find us on Facebook, where all the pictures and other links and love and things work.
By the way, I do want to interject. Over at Friend Feed, I do have a Technorama room, and it should be friendfeed.com/technorama. And anybody can join. Anybody can post in there. And we also have our, you know, the website feed going through there as well.
Hey, Wally, that's a pretty good idea.
Now for something completely different.
I said Wally, not Rocky.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
Sound of head hitting microphone. Yeah. Visit us at the website, www.chuckchat.com, for all the links and everything else that's good about life. Maybe get your wife back, your car, your dog. Oh, that's the country music thing again.
Now, you play Technorama backwards and you get the moon hoax back.
And in forward, that says, thank you, Madmar, for all the great blog content during the week. You stream for our modest live stream. If you happen to be around on Sunday nights at 10 p.m., we'd love to see you in the chat room. You can watch both of us at the same time, moving our lips, making the sound, and you even get some hidden gems that are edited out later. You wouldn't believe what you wouldn't miss.
The cutting room floor is full over here.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. Find out more at friendsintech.com. Also affiliated with Farpoint Media and all the great shows over at farpointmedia.net. Any words of wisdom before we go, Craig?
Yes. Life is a process. We are a process. The universe is a process.
Binary high five.
101.
Chuck, the bossy's the devil.